and welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
I'm here.
You are here, and this is a new year.
It is. It really is. A new year.
Yeah.
And we're not doing a, like, resolution recording.
No, we've made a resolution that we're not going to do a resolution episode.
That's not bad. That's not a bad thing.
Like, no, it's not.
Honestly, resolutions are not necessarily a bad thing. I know there's the joke, the age-old joke about, you know, no one sticking to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, of course, I've done numerous times.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that.
No. Like, ironically, this is the first year in a long time that I've actually made a list of goals for this year.
You're too busy planning the recording the other years to actually do our own list.
Right. But no, we're not talking about New Year's resolutions. We're talking about something that I feel like is of special interest between us two, especially. Mm-hmm. We come from very different sides of this spectrum. So we're talking about homeschooling. And for those of you who don't know, I grew up homeschooled all the way, you know, from a baby to high school. You know,
I did not.
You did not.
I went to public school, kindergarten through senior year of high school.
Right.
I never knew. Here's the thing. I never knew a single homeschool kid that I, like, they were probably there, some kids who were homeschooled at one point and then started going to public school.
Right.
And I just didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. But I do not remember any homeschool kids ever until I got into college. And then I met a lot of them.
Right. Yeah. We tend to either blend into the background or try hard to, you know, because we don't want to stand out, you know, be the weird homeschool kid. Or, you know, we stand out pretty badly in some cases.
I don't know. Maybe it was just I was oblivious.
Right.
But I knew in my mind, this, mm-hmm. I mean, like, obviously I knew homeschooling was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when I was elementary, middle school age, in my mind, everybody just went to the school in their district.
Yeah.
You turned 5 and you got on the school bus one day.
Right.
That was how you were supposed to do
it. Do you remember, like, maybe, like, a person that you met that was, like, that you realized, oh, this person is homeschooled, and you had, like, a perception of them because of that?
Like I said, I didn't really know homeschool kids until I was at college.
Oh, at college.
Brief
okay.
Stint
yeah.
of college.
Yeah.
And I could, I don't know. I guess, like, in sharing our experiences, I could tell the difference.
Uh-huh.
And not a bad difference.
Right.
But I could tell that, that we learned very different things.
Yes.
And, and that, you know, some things that the public school system deems important for you to learn is, you know, if you don't have to learn it, like, I'd have friends, like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, I thought everybody knew that. We learned that. That's like a third grade curriculum for everybody ever. And they're like, third grade curriculum for you in your public school. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the thing. And it's kind of a joke, and it's not necessarily accurate for a lot of people. It was for me to a certain degree. But people would ask me all the time when I was a kid, like, oh, what grade are you in? And I'd be like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like if you're talking about math, it's probably a pretty low grade. But if you're talking about reading, I'm probably, you know, upper high school level. So, like, it was all over the place for me. And I always kind of looked at my parents like, what grade am I in? What should I say in this? Because I can tell you how old I am.
That is the one thing, one of the vast differences between homeschooling and public school is that you can advance on your terms at the level that is comfortable to you.
Yeah.
And in public school, you're just thrown in with a bunch of kids that are the same age as you. Like, like, some kids skip grades and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. There is some flexibility. I think it's a myth that there isn't.
I wasn't that child.
Right.
I didn't skip grades. I did have good grades. Mm-hmm. It was not an accepted thing in my household to come on with bad grades. And if you had trouble with school, you need to tell them so they could help you improve.
Yes.
And by help you, I mean stick you in a corner until you get it right now. No. But still, like, my parents held me to a high standard when it came to grades. They wanted me to do the best. If they knew that I could do better, that's what they expected.
Yeah.
But I was not a super advanced child. And then there was my sister who came in, like, valedictorian. Not valedictorian. She wasn't valedictorian. She was salutatorian, historic. She was one of them.
Okay.
What's the second?
She was one of the Latin ones. Yeah.
She's one of them people, like, at the top of her class, and that was not me.
Yeah.
That was not me.
Right.
I'm proud of you, baby sister. You did a great job.
Well, we're talking about this. We thought that this was a relevant conversation because, and especially post, you know, 2020, all the craziness that happened there, people stuck at homes realized, man, our kids still need to learn stuff. Mm-hmm. And so who's going to teach them but us? And so what you saw here, and I've seen many people, you know, show the numbers on this. So it was pretty crazy that there was a really large growth in the homeschooling arena when it came.
I mean, obviously there was already homeschooling happening.
Oh,
there was a lot of people, and I want to say not just the Christian
groups,
but I think mostly, and like there were the, like you could, you know, that there's a lot of Christians who have started getting into the homeschooling,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them saw the benefit mm-hmm. of being able to teach your kids yourself.
Yes. Yeah, so going into the history of homeschooling, now, this is when I wish my mom and dad were here, and maybe we should pull them in one day to just talk about this a little bit more in depth, but they started...
He was literally just here just a minute ago.
I know, right. I passed him in the hall.
We should have just said pause.
Just
hold
say,
on.
Hey, yeah. But they started homeschooling, I want to say, in the late 80s, before I was born. I was born in 92. So they started homeschooling my older sisters in the later 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not the beginning of the homeschooling movement in the States, but it was pretty early on in it. And so what they when they describe, you know, the atmosphere of that whole movement was very Christian oriented.
Mm-hmm.
The motivation there was. You know, and people can debate about whether or not this was correct, but the motivation was, let's take our children out of the ungodly schools and teach them at home so that we can disciple them.
Yeah.
That was the essential thrust. It was not an education-focused movement. It was more of a discipleship, Christian mm-hmm. discipleship movement. And that has evolved over the years, and it's become more and more secular. And I think that that's just a natural thing when people realize, hey, there are some benefits for our family when it comes to homeschooling, and maybe they're not Christians, but they want to be able to be with their children more. Maybe they travel a lot because mm-hmm. of a job, and they just want to keep the family together. I mean, there can be any sort of situation where people choose the homeschooling path. That's not necessarily a Christian thing. But nonetheless, like even today, the Christian focus for many, many people in the homeschooling community is still very strong. It's still mm-hmm. very present there. And so that was what I was brought up in, was that education kind of went hand in hand with, discipleship and, learning the Bible and being brought up in the Word and in Christianity. And so, I would say for me personally, that was a great benefit.
Yeah.
And that's not the experience of everyone, all of my peers or anybody else that's been homeschooled, but that was definitely my experience and the experience of my siblings. And certainly there can be really beautiful, great things happening, even in a public school, that are Christian. You know, like my nephew, actually, he goes to a public school. He started a prayer group that's flourishing in his public school. So, like, these things are not isolated to homeschooling. But I do think that there is a special opportunity in the homeschooling model, I guess, for Christian parents.
Well, the public school setting that I grew up in
mm-hmm.
here in the South, in the Bible Belt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A majority of my teachers probably were Christian
mm-hmm.
or are Christian. You know, like they were at church.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily that we, like they had a curriculum that they had to teach based off of just, you know,
State standards.
Mm-hmm. That's the words I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to teach, but they were still like, there was that Christian environment there.
Right.
And then there was like a Bible courses that you mm-hmm. could take.
Yeah.
You didn't have to. It wasn't like something they forced,
right.
but it was available. And then like even in elementary, we had our rotations. So every day was something different. One day was music, one day was PE, one day, you know, and Bible was in that rotation. And if there was a family
yeah.
who was not Christian and did not want their child in that, they could opt them out of it.
Right.
If they wanted to. But that was things that were available. And they may not, I mean, I'm not really sure. I should know. My mom teaches at the school that I went to. And I know there's still a large number of Christians mm-hmm. teaching there. And so at this point, as far as the teaching and the curriculum and the school, it's still a pretty good environment.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
This is not the same for all places.
But certainly not. Yeah.
At some schools that I know around here. Mm-hmm. But the thing is you can't control what other kids are bringing in, what other information they are saying. And your teachers are one person with many kids mm-hmm. in a classroom. And they don't all have assistants all the time helping them watch. Like some of them do.
Yeah.
Some of them have assistants that are passed around from classrooms that are having to work for different people. So you can't, they're not able to monitor everything that other kids who are raised in a different environment come in and tell your kids. And that's the hard part, I think.
So your mom's a teacher. My sister is a teacher here in Tupelo as well. And just hearing stories of like, mm-hmm. just what teachers have to go through. Oh my goodness, they are saints, right? Like they go through so much.
Not paid enough.
Not paid enough, not thanked enough. I mean, that's a demographic right there that America needs to be far more grateful for than they are. And I mean, if the state is actually going to have these public schools, they need to support the teachers that are in them.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know my mom's exact pay.
Yeah.
But I do, I watch the way she like stares at the grocery store to make sure she gets the best deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know you're not getting paid for dealing with kids
and,
all
I mean,
day.
The service that they're offering, you know, is invaluable. I mean, like,
If you deem other jobs more important, guess who is the first step of education for your child who eventually makes it in that
job?
Exactly.
Yeah.
My mother. And right. she, and there's so many great teachers in the public school system. And I know that they are trying their hardest to do the best they can for these kids. And so we appreciate them.
Absolutely.
So this is definitely not anti-public school. But homeschooling is a great option if you're from the parent standpoint.
Yes.
And I'm not a parent, but I know that. Yeah. From a parent standpoint, you get to control the information that's coming in and out of your house a lot better than if you send your kid to public school. There's not, like, if they ride the school bus, I rode the school bus. The things I heard on there that I cannot repeat on the air from kids who just didn't grow up the way I did.
Yeah, okay. So there's a stereotype, and it might be a justified stereotype, and I certainly was the stereotype of the overly sheltered homeschooler.
Yeah.
Okay, I was that kid who had zero clue when my public school peers at church or wherever were talking about things. And it wasn't bad stuff, you know? It was not bad stuff. It was completely benign, just pop culture type things.
And you're like, what?
And I'm just like, what? And I will tell you, like, growing up, I did feel a little bit like, I wish I could talk about these things with them. I just don't know what.
I knew too much. That's the problem.
Right.
I keep thinking of some of the songs that I knew the lyrics to, and I should not. I should never have heard those songs. But and again, I was not. I came from a strict enough house, and like my parents weren't crazy strict.
Right.
But they held. They had a standard, and they like, it's not like they allowed me to listen to that kind of music or watch those kinds of movies.
Right.
Half the time I didn't even watch the movie, but I just knew the quotes because of the other students who did watch the movie quoting them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like that's the thing is like, there is an amount of shelter, and we talked about this before we hit record on the show, but there is amount of sheltering that is appropriate for parents to have for their children.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about my own kids. So my son, Andy, 6 years old, you know, and I'm allowing him to know about things like that are appropriate for a 6 year old.
Yeah.
He watches TV shows sometimes that are appropriate for a 6 year old. We play video games together that are appropriate for a 6 year old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing things that maybe I didn't do when I was six, but there are also things that he is not watching, that he is not listening to, that he is not playing, that he is not around hearing discussed. That would be very inappropriate for a six-year-old. But the thing is, if I was sending him off to a public school, and, you know, even if he had the best teachers in the world, even if it was one of the greatest schools that mm-hmm. was available, I still have zero clue what the other six-year-olds are talking about and what they're teaching him.
Yes, and what they hear at home.
Yeah. Like, so at some point, this is not anti-public school. This is just, look, parents, we need to be aware that when you send your kids off into a situation by themselves, even if it's with adults you trust and you can trust, there's a lot of other factors in play. That
bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Things are said in the bathroom breaks. I'm telling you, the things I heard when we went to the bathroom. And like I said, you got one teacher in a whole classroom full of kids. She can only do so much. And if you're a parent and you're keeping up with just your kids, you know that and you understand it. And that's your kids.
Yeah.
This is a classroom full of kids that this teacher did not raise
mm-hmm.
and has only so much control over.
Right.
So, like, you can't control all that. So I think if you are in a situation, and I know that there are a lot
mm-hmm.
of people who are having to spend all their time working to provide.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's hard mm-hmm. for them to do, like, to even think of the homeschooling option.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something for you to think about and pray about. Mm-hmm. But if you do have to send your kid to public school, I think it's very good to create a space of open dialogue with your child.
That's vital.
It starts when they're little.
Yes.
Like Jordan... Like, I know a lot of times your wife is home with the kids, so she gets to see mm-hmm. all the stuff they do, but you are working in the office, and you go home,
mm-hmm.
and you sit down with your little boy, and you can start asking him. He's little.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't, and he's been at home at your house all day with your wife.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't have much, but you sit him down, and you go, how was your day? What did you do today?
Yes, yes. When he asks those questions that every parent may even dread to hear, and you're like, oh, I'm not ready for this conversation. At least he's asking you, right? He's not asking a peer who might have some very vulgar ways of putting things. He's not asking an adult
opinions.
That you don't know. Yeah, exactly. he's not going to a source that might actually have an agenda to make him think a certain way about certain things. He's going to you, and it's an opportunity to disciple. And so, yeah, absolutely, like, you know, being there to have that open dialogue is very important, whether you're homeschooling or not.
Yeah.
You need to be talking to your children about what are they thinking, you know, and don't pry it out of them. Don't, you know, they don't have to come to you with an hourly report of everything that they thought about. But, you know,
if you start, which some people may be like, well, my kid's older now, so you may have a harder road ahead. But if you have little ones, go ahead and start now. I mean, your youngest is how old, if you don't mind me asking?
My youngest, she is one.
Yeah.
She's now learning how to talk.
She is jabbering. Let's go with the second oldest.
Yes, yes.
And she's not going to give you much except for, you know, like, daddy, I used the potty today, some of these little ones.
Oh, my goodness,
and
though.
Like, she's now learning that that daddy cares about all the little things that have happened to me today, mm-hmm. and I can sit down and tell him about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I tell you what, it's so great to be able to do that. I love that. And it is one of those things, I sit them down like, what did you think about today? Or let's talk about something. And they don't want to talk, but they want to like play, you know? And that's very
they're
important.
They're still little.
but for older children even, I would say for a parent of maybe a teenager, don't underestimate their desire to talk to you, even if they act like they do not.
As someone who was a teenager mm-hmm. and not that long ago.
Yeah. right. Just 15 years ago, right?
Shush. But as someone, I remember, I loved moments when my parents would ask me what's going on. And I think that's like, I had my grandparents, my mom's parents, especially my grandmother, and I had this special bond with her growing up, because I spent a lot of my summers and after school time with her.
Yeah.
And she would always just like sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell she was really listening.
Mm-hmm.
And she would offer, you know, words when she thought it was important.
Yeah.
But that means a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, and that doesn't ever stop. I mean, to this day,
yeah.
If someone will let me tell my little stupid little story and get it over with, yeah. And
everybody wants to be heard
and act like they're very interested, you know, it means a lot. Yeah. So you can't imagine what it means to the littles when you are their everything.
Oh,
you know?
Goodness. And then, like, you think about this same little person who wants to be heard, and you put them in, and some people just don't have a choice, but you put them in a situation where they're with a bunch of other kids who also want and need to be heard and one adult to listen.
Yeah.
And that is just, that's just.
And that is a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot on that adult.
That's a lot.
So I will say, yeah, homeschooling, there is, you do kind of have the advantage there because you're there all the time. And like, what you're doing is that exchange, is that dialogue, yeah. That conversation. And I mean, so my experience with my mom, obviously dad would be at the office working here actually. And my mom would be homeschooling. So we'd get up in the morning. We had a routine. She is a routine person. And so no free floating around. It was like you woke up, you knew exactly what was going to happen. And so we would start the day, and she would always start the day with scripture. Mm-hmm. So we would all go into the living room. She would sit in her chair. She would have her basket full of books. And we knew, okay, there's going to be like an hour of reading, an hour of sitting here listening to her read.
Yeah.
She was dedicated, is dedicated still. And so Proverbs, one chapter of Proverbs every day. So 31 chapters, you know, you have a whole month there. And then you go into our academic reading, whatever that was. And it was all ages sitting there listening. So I'm the middle child. My younger kids were there. My younger siblings were there. My older siblings were there. We're listening to the same things, having the same conversations. And so that was my experience. And questions were invited, you know, and like conversations happened. So that was my experience. I've never had a public school experience. The closest thing I can tell you to a public school experience is what I've seen on the Disney Channel.
Oh, you know?
So
no.
I have zero clue.
Not accurate. Well, but if you are looking at homeschooling, mm-hmm. that is, I mean, definitely something to pray about.
Yes. Yeah.
I will say that if your kid is in public school and they know the Lord, mm-hmm. and they are grounded in their faith, mm-hmm. that they also at that point have an opportunity.
Yeah.
To share and to witness, because mm-hmm. once you become a Christian, it doesn't matter your age. It's you're gearing up to witness, even if you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they are placed in public school for a reason. For that reason.
Yeah.
But for the younger ones, for the ones, maybe the ones who aren't believers yet, and mm-hmm. you want to bring them to the Lord, homeschooling's a good option. And there, you don't have to do it alone.
No.
Even if you are a single parent, there are homeschooling groups out there.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That will help you. Other people that homeschool, other resources. You might be able to find a homeschooling group in your area mm-hmm. on Facebook or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't, like I said, I don't have kids myself.
Right.
And I was never homeschooled, so I don't really have resources.
Right.
I showed up the first day of school and was given my textbooks right. by the school. And then I lugged those around all year.
Right.
So, I mean, my experience was a little different, but mm-hmm. no doubt that there are people out there who can direct you.
The first organization I would point somebody to who has questions about homeschooling, particularly homeschooling in their area, if there's any sort of regulation, because different states have different laws.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Mississippi, has got some of the most free homeschooling here. In other states, it's not so, there's a bit more regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But go to, I believe it's hslda.org. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association is the organization I'm talking about. And they've been sort of like an establishment of homeschooling in the states for a very, very long time. And they are there to make sure homeschooling families have all of their legal questions answered and have all of these resources and just ease of access to all these answers. And it could probably answer most of your questions there. Concerning just homeschooling in your area, but also just a quick Google search of, homeschool support group and then your town. You'll probably pick up on something around in your area that you can have a phone number to call if you have questions.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's no end to resources for homeschoolers. Like I said, this has been going on since the 70s. At least.
And today, there's such a free flow of information, which I know you have to have a lot of discernment on.
Mm-hmm.
But there, it's so easy to order things quickly and have it sent to your house for schooling.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things like available online, like for free.
Oh, absolutely.
For you to use.
Yeah.
And videos and things like that. Like, again, as a parent, you just have to have discernment. You have to know what, you know, you don't just grab random curriculum and throw them at your kids.
No, because and that's part of the fun of homeschooling is digging into it and seeing what it's all about. You know, you can nerd out about it a little bit. Yeah.
And working as a family.
Yes, absolutely. There's no end to the resources. If you have questions about homeschooling, just do a quick Google search and you will find something. I guarantee it.
And I will encourage you, if you are a homeschool family and you've been doing this and you kind of know the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know of any like homeschool groups, maybe you can start offering like support and information and resources for other people who want to go the homeschool route.
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody comes to you with a question about, hey, you know, why are your kids out in public right now? Why aren't they in school?
Yeah.
School's in session. Well, you can start talking to them about it. Maybe they'll have questions. And maybe that's the Lord's way of helping you get something started so that parents have more options available to them.
And if you have things that you've used that have tools that have helped you with your kids, but your kids have outgrown them I don't need these anymore. I mean, that might be a good chance for you, like a good opportunity for you to pass them along to somebody else.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So,
I do think a good note to end on here is just the fact that, you know, we talked about homeschooling and how great it is. The Bible doesn't tell us to homeschool our parents, homeschool our children, my goodness. But the Bible does tell us parents to disciple our children. And so whether or not we choose to homeschool or send them in a different direction, the command is there to raise them to honor the Lord. So that's what I guess we want to leave you with and encourage you. If you have questions about homeschooling, go seek those out. But whether you do that or not, please disciple your children. Well, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And until next episode, continue to share truth and apply scripture.